back, listeners.
Welcome back, bitches.
Oh, it's another riveting, invigorating.
Yeah, prepare to be riveted. Prepare to be invigorated.
Yes.
Yeah.
On your favorite podcast, Othered.
With your host, Kilo Scales.
And Sarah Van Cleve, bitch.
That's right. We're here. We're here for you in your ear holes once again.
Yep. Any hole you want to put us in, we're ready.
Okay.
Starting off hot.
Some like it hot, you know what I mean?
Logan shared with us that this is his hour a week to explore his horniness. And so I feel like I'm just taking that to heart. That meant a lot.
Just let it out, you know? This is a safe space.
It is a safe
for horniness.
Space.
Right, a safe space.
For anything. For sure. For anything you want to bring to the table.
Right. And I feel like I think that's what we are. You know, we're just like the catch-all of all of the things. Mm-hmm. The horniness, mm-hmm. the politics, mm-hmm. the activism, mm-hmm. you know, the ways that we want to be better in the world,
yeah.
you know?
Sometimes our problematic behavior lands here also.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
We're just here for all of it.
We are.
That's called life.
It is.
Right.
We're your favorite lifestyle pod.
Yeah.
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 While you're thinking about it, everyone, please go like and share and review this podcast with other people who life, which is everyone.
It has been great to hear from others that Othered is getting shared with their friends.
Who'd you hear from?
A couple people, actually. They were like, oh my God, I just started hearing about your podcast and listening to it. And it's like, oh, that's so precious. Mm-hmm. I love that for you.
Yeah.
So that's great. So good job, everybody, for sharing the lovely news.
Thank you.
The good news of Othered. Yes.
The gospel of Othered. Thank you for sharing.
Yeah. Woo. Okay.
It is weird.
There we go. Yes. Yes.
It's weird to have people hear you who you don't know.
Mm-hmm. I was talking to somebody, and I don't remember who it was, because I've had so many conversations.
Oh, so many.
But, oh, it was this morning. How I feel like I don't think about other people listening to this podcast when I'm here in the studio with you.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like, that's not a part. That's not, like, the forefront of my mind. Like, oh, other people are going to hear this.
Right.
I'm just having a conversation with my friends,
yep.
you know, about things that are important to me.
Mm-hmm.
And when other people listen to it, it's like, oh, I didn't mediate what I said. I didn't censor what I said. I wasn't thinking about the ways that I might say something that might be weird for somebody to hear,
mm-hmm.
you know? And here they are listening to all the things that I've said uncensored, you know?
Here it is.
And it's just, yeah, like full frontal Caleb, you know what I mean? Just like
Love
out here,
it.
Just
bearing it all.
Bearing it all.
Raw
to the world.
Fucking dogging.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly.
Ow!
Yeah, I love that.
Brown chicken, brown cow.
Someone asked me today how my parents felt about listening to me.
Yeah.
And I was like, I think at this point, we've been doing this for 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
I think that my mom has accepted that nothing will hold me back from saying what is on
sure.
my heart. Sorry, Mom. Again. And forever.
Right, but also thank you, Chris, for listening to us.
Yeah.
I appreciate that. That makes me feel warm feelings that, you know, somebody's mom can also listen to this.
Just because they can doesn't mean that they should.
Right. Or should they?
I don't know. I guess it depends on the mom. Mm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. What else is going on, Caleb?
Real quick, we were just talking about the podcast awards.
Yeah.
The Iowa Podcast Awards and all the different categories that Othered might be a fit for.
Mm-hmm.
Best education podcast.
Oh.
I think education. Because you're out here schooling people.
We're out here teaching the children.
Yeah.
Yes.
I believe
and the mothers.
Children
and the mothers.
Are
that's
teachers.
Right.
Everybody.
Well, how many mothers
best
are
education.
Children? You know what I mean?
Well, everyone is a child.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I was just going to say that.
Of God.
No, I wasn't going to say that part.
I was, yeah, that's where I was going to go with it. That's where my mind went. We're all children of God.
We are. We really are.
Yes. God bless.
Everybody.
Yeah. It's so funny. I was delivering a plate of food to a table the other day. It was probably like 2 days ago. And they were like, they said something about like how this was like a Christian meal. And they were talking about their friend, Christian.
Oh.
And I was like, oh, yeah, God bless. And they just like cracked up. And I was like, oh, you're talking about a friend, a person named Christian, not that this meal itself was Christian religious based.
Oh, that's so hilarious. The perils of serving. Why do you have your glasses on today?
I don't know. I was feeling it. Okay. I found them in my console, and I forgot that at one point I had this kind of obsession with wearing glasses, and I wanted to feel a little more, I don't know, Rebecca today.
Where'd Rebecca come from?
I don't know. Rebecca's the girl who wears glasses, you know? And she has a cute top on, but like kind of casual, but like very professional, you know?
Okay. I love this for you.
Thank you.
It's a Rebecca day.
Yeah. Becky, actually.
Becky with the good hair?
If you're nasty.
Okay. I like this.
Yes. Okay. Well, Sarah, tell me about where you're at. What's going on with you? Tell me every dirty little detail.
You know, today's not my best day.
No?
No. I feel like it's not like a bad day, and I have gum in my mouth, which I'm going to spit out here in a minute.
You better.
I feel like with this eclipse energy, I felt my energy ascending for the past couple weeks, and I felt like I was coming to a very high energy place.
Are you talking about like ascending like into like a higher plane?
I just
like
mean,
you were feeling high vibrational, or you were just feeling
I was feeling high vibrationally and, you know, receiving some different messages from the universe that I had not already received, and I was very open and energetically ascending as well. And then it's like the night of the eclipse, I hit a wall. And
like the night before?
No, the night of.
Oh, wow.
Like, we went out and had this really great little ritual ceremony at our friend Kimberly's with a bunch of our little witchy friends.
Yeah.
And that was so good. But it's like as soon as that eclipse happened and then it, you know, started returning back to normal, my energy, like I felt it stop and then plummet. So it's been really tough for me in the past couple of days to like find my center and why can't I say the word?
Recalibrate?
Sure. Yes. Recalibrate.
Yeah.
And I don't like it because my brain is not thinking clearly. I feel now I'm heightened emotionally a little bit.
Sure.
And I don't like that. So that's where I'm at today. I'm just struggling to find my happy place energetically and emotionally and intellectually.
Yeah, I have a hard time being like, oh, Mercury's in retrograde and this is why this is happening. Or like, you know, and I pay attention to astrology because I'm interested and fascinated by it. But it is weird to me the way that I had this like huge upswing in like hectic, manic energy all the way up until the eclipse, and like the day of I was like,
oh, so you felt the same way?
I was like a dropped person, like I felt like run over by a train. And I think part of that might have been the way that I exhausted myself over the work week, socially, mentally, emotionally, spiritually. But Sunday and Monday were hard days for me. I like kind of, I don't know, I hit a low point, I think, and lower than I've been in a while. And it was really hard for me to kind of like resurface.
Yeah.
And it's been like a weird kind of unmoored place for me, unanchored.
And you feel like that's like cyclical with the eclipse?
I think so. Yeah. I kind of like happened in line with it, you know, in some way. So I've been trying to intentionally get more rest over the past 2 days. Like, I've definitely taken a couple naps. Yesterday I slept in really hard. So I don't know. There's just, I've been trying to like spend more time getting back to what it is that I think is normal and giving myself space to do that.
Yeah.
So,
which is good. Good for you.
No, thank you.
Give yourself space to realign.
Yeah, we call that awareness.
Yes. Yeah. Sometimes awareness sucks.
Ugh, gross.
I often
right?
feel like it would be nice Eek. To go back to oblivion land.
Ignorance.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't think I can afford it though.
I know,
you know what I
can't
mean?
Either.
Like, it's just, it's not the space. I don't have the.
I know, but it sounds fun.
It sounds so nice.
Yeah.
Right? Just like Becky over there with the good hair and the, yeah. Just living her beautiful little life.
Yeah. Anyway. That's what I know about that.
I have what therapy you know about tomorrow, that?
And I'm excited.
You got a what tomorrow?
Therapy.
Oh my God. Wait, what's today? Thursday. I have mine on Tuesday.
Oh my God.
Oh my God.
We're going to be so healed
I
for
know.
Like a week.
And I was going to say for like 30 minutes.
Yeah. And then it's all going to come crashing down again. I'm ready for it.
Yeah, I definitely feel like when I have therapy, I have like I ride this high where I'm like, ooh, yeah, Amanda said such great things and like pointed me on this path where I'm like, okay, aware of certain things. And then my day takes over and then it's like, whoop, back to, you know, the cycle of fucking up and grieving that and yeah. resting and trying to, you know, not fuck up as much. So here we are.
Living with your humanity.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Same. Mm. What are we going to talk about today, Caleb?
This is hard for me to talk about because I think it's vulnerable. And I'm not...
Feelings.
Yeah, exactly. And I feel like part of the vulnerability is for me not playing like the gay card or like, oh, I've been oppressed card. You know what I mean? That, like, I want to exist, you know, without problems. And I want to exist like everything is fine, you know, a lot of the time. And, like, this shit doesn't happen anymore. It's, you know, 2024. And I don't know. I think there's been this, like, it just keeps coming up in my mind, this experience that I had where I was serving one night at the restaurant that I work at, and you know, I was serving a table and everything. It was two guys and they were from out of town and we were getting along great. And they were asking me like, where's a good place to go out in Cedar Rapids? Like, what places do I like? What do I like living? What do I like about living in Iowa? Those kinds of things. And we were having a great time and they like ordered some food and ordered drinks and blah, 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 blah. Later on, a table of friends had come in, you know, or people that I had been acquainted with. And so I felt a little bit more comfortable, you know, being more expressive, more myself, at that table. And the restaurant itself is really small. And so I feel like I was kind of like watched. And I think, you know, after going back to the original table, the table of the two guys, like the energy had shifted and I felt like not as like warmly received, you know, not as like the table just wasn't as approachable.
Okay.
You know, when I went back and I had a hard time saying like, I think it's because, you know, maybe they found out that I was gay because I was being very expressive with the other table. That like, maybe that's what caused it. Mm-hmm. But you know, after, you know, getting them their check and all that stuff, like the tip was really small. Like I think it was like a $50 tab and I think they left me like $2.
That's shitty.
And so like there's a part of me that feels angry and frustrated. But then there's also the part of me that feels like it's my fault, you know, that like I shouldn't
be yourself.
Be myself at work, you know? And I think there's a line, you know, I'm not going to be obnoxious and like, you know, I'm not going to be a drag queen performing, you know, out on the restaurant floor, you know, but I still feel like, you know, there's this tendency to want to like rein in and like censor myself and like not express and not be, you know, not have as much personality, you know, come through because I'm afraid of people's reactions to it. And that the more that I can pass, the more that I can fly under the radar, the better it is for, you know, for the experience of the guest, but also for me and my pocketbook, you know?
I was going to say, it would be really conflicting to feel like there's a direct tie between your personality or the way you present and your income.
Yeah. Totally.
I've been thinking a lot about that because there has been this famous celebrity in the news, Amanda Seales. Do you know Amanda Seales?
I don't.
I really like her. She's a very, very outspoken Black woman, and she is outspoken about everything she is passionate about, which I admire. But Essence magazine, one of their writers wrote an op-ed about her, and it was titled essentially like, it's more important to be liked than good at your job. And so I've been thinking a lot about kind of like how you and I have been having conversations about respectability politics lately.
Yeah. That's definitely come up before.
Yeah.
And like a lot, actually.
Yes. And at work, like feeling like even if you are the best at your job, which I know you're good at your job, I know you're an excellent server. You've waited on me before. I've watched you with patrons. You've won awards for your bartending. Mm-hmm. So there's evidence to back up the fact that you are good at your job,
right.
But then there's this feeling of like being accepted or being liked.
Yeah.
And that directly impacts your ability to make money.
Right.
And why I wish that we would not have to value that, because being liked, quote unquote, should not be the goal.
Mm.
And because we're people, we do like and dislike things or other people.
Yeah.
But how can we like separate that?
Well, I think that that's really hard to do in the restaurant industry, particularly, you know, in the hospitality industry. You know, like there's a couple of different, you know, takes on how hospitality professionals are supposed to be, right? Like, in essence, the way that like fine dining works is that like servers and bartenders are supposed to be kind of like part of the background, you know, that we're supposed to be like seen but not heard, you know, right. That whole kind of like concept. Like we're part of the furniture, you know. But then there's, you know, the personality places, you know, where people are, you know, themselves and, you know, carry the personality of the restaurant, you know, with them to every table. Because the personality of the restaurant is built upon the personalities of the people serving,
right,
you know, or working there. And so I've worked in, you know, both kinds of styles of restaurants, and I find, you know, that I can do both well. But I also find it, like, you know, difficult in a place where, like Cedar Rapids or the Midwest, where there's not as many people like me, you know, walking around and living their lives and being, you know, out and proud about it. That there's a lot more, I don't know, risk of, you know, coming across somebody who is automatically antagonistic towards me, you know, for no reason other than I'm a little fey, you know, a little gay, a little flamboyant, you know, whatever. And I don't know how to do the job, you know, without letting my personality come through, you know, without wanting to be liked or finding myself drawn back into the closet for the 6 hours that I'm at work, you know?
It's really hard.
Yeah. And the thing is, I feel like in some way privileged, right? Because like I can flip back and forth, right? Like I can put myself in a suit, you know, of, you know, or I could put my straight mask on and talk in a certain way and perform a certain kind of identity, you know, for the masses in order to make the money that I want to make. But then I also have the option to take that off, you know what I mean? And I hate that I can do that, you know, that there's the, the expectation that I should do that, you know, but there's people who don't pass, you know, in dominant culture to be part of, you know, the mass appeal, you know?
Yeah.
And so it's like, I don't know what's...
Well, I mean, you can't help that you're a white man.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
But I do feel like you kind of... I feel like you combat that privilege by being yourself almost all the time. Mm. I've never... I can't think of a time when I've seen you, like, pretend to not be you. Mm. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And I think that... I mean, I hope that the more often we all show up as our authentic selves, we talk about this a lot, the more community we build around us, the more supported and seen that we feel. And hopefully, I mean, it's tough because you want people to go out to eat and spend money at the place you work and tip. But it's like, hopefully those people just stay the fuck away.
Right.
I don't know.
Yeah. And I think that part of it, too, is that, like, obviously, I don't want their meal to be about me being their server. You know what I mean? Like, their meal should, their time at the restaurant should be about them enjoying themselves. And hopefully, I add something to the experience. Mm-hmm. Right.
But there's a difference between, like, letting someone add and purposefully looking for something that takes away. Because if their experience was 110% great until they made an assumption about you without being invited to do that, that's a whole nother thing. That's like looking for something to be wrong.
Right. And I think part of it is that, like, the onus of responsibility falls to me to try to read the table and to ascertain whether or not it's safe for me to be myself at each table.
Code switching.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it, like, happens at every table, you know, throughout the night. And it's like, how do I...
It's that hyper-vigilance of, like, where is it safe for me to show up as myself? Mm-hmm. Where do I need to alter? How do I need to alter? And I feel like marginalized people are really good at that. Mm. I was also telling someone recently that I... struggle when I'm unable to anticipate someone's thoughts or behaviors or emotions.
When somebody's, like, hard to read.
Yes. Yeah. Because for me, if I can anticipate things about you, it creates safety for me, because then I know exactly how I should show up.
Right.
Because I am constantly code switching because I've been made to feel like, okay, well, when I show up this way, it makes them feel uncomfortable, which will impact my ability to X, Y, Z.
Yeah.
So if I can anticipate what's happening, then I know exactly how I should show up and I won't disappoint, and I'll have whatever needs I'm experiencing. I'll have those met.
Yeah.
But it's exhausting.
Yeah.
And then it makes it really strange when I can't anticipate those.
It's unnerving.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
And then that person's like, well, you're acting fucking weird now. Now you're not going to get a tip because you're acting like a freak. And it's like, well, yeah, because I can't tell what the vibe is.
Right.
It's tricky.
It is tricky. And I think, you know, in the past, I've had experiences like this, right, where for one instance in particular that I feel like was really egregious. I was bartending at this neighborhood bar in Cedar Rapids. And this guy was just being a dick. Mm-hmm. And I remember, like, going out to go smoke a cigarette because I was just like, okay, I need a break, you know, whatever, from serving the whole bar. And this guy was just getting on my nerves. And so I went out and smoked a cigarette. When I came back in, he had, like, left money at the bar and, like, had walked out. Like, the money paid for his tab or whatever. Then I found out, like, 10 minutes later that he had come behind the bar and said, who wants a shot? And, like, fuck this faggot, you know? And, like, a whole bunch of people took shots from this guy pouring shots for them behind the bar, basically stealing liquor from the bar while I was out smoking a cigarette, and had called me a faggot to the whole bar. And nobody said anything to him. You know, and he was just able to leave, you know, and whatever. And it was like, what the actual fuck? And I remember crying about this to one of the other bartenders who had worked there. And she's like, you can't, like, you know, fuck the haters and blah, 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 blah. And it was like, okay, yeah, that's fair. But also, like, publicly demeaned me, you know, in front of a bunch of people that I didn't know.
Mm-hmm. That you have to return to and still serve.
Yeah. And... you know, I also rely on the money of those people and of that person, you know, to pay my bills, to pay my rent, you know. And it's like, okay, sure, yeah, fuck the haters, you know, but when it comes to being able to live, mm-hmm. I have to kind of put on a face and, like, I don't know, perform, you know, be this little, you know, monkey and, like, try to negotiate how much of myself I can be in front of people in order to live, you know, and that really sucks. Mm-hmm. And I think that there are other, you know, industries where that might come into play, but maybe less so than the industry, the restaurant industry or the bartending industry.
Yeah, I don't know what it's like to work in service, but that would be hard because I would imagine, yeah, the majority of your income depends on who you are as a person or someone else's interpretation of you.
Sure. I mean, yeah, the $8 an hour doesn't really cover anything.
Really?
You know? Right, exactly.
That's not a decent cost right. of living.
No. So I am relying on like the 20% tips, you know, that I potentially make from, you know, the $1,000 that I make in sales, mm-hmm. you know, that would be enough in a night to like start to pay my mortgage and to buy gas and groceries and all those different things, you know? So I do rely on the gratuity, the thanks for my service. Mm-hmm. And so it's just, I don't know, it feels like a really weird experience. And I just have, so when I was thinking about that this last week, I was thinking about all the other ways that I feel like the ways, the way that I show up, you know, as a gay man in my life, like the ways that I feel like I've had to shift or, you know, closet certain aspects of myself in order to get ahead. Mm. And I hate it. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, that's just what's been on my mind, and I don't know how to move through the world sometimes without feeling, you know, angry or sad or mm-hmm. exhausted.
Yeah it is exhausting because again it's that hyper vigilance, yeah. And always feeling unsure, and I think that's very tiring. Do you have spaces in your life that allow a full expression of Caleb?
I want to say yes. I mean, I feel like this is, you know, that kind of space where it's not only like that I can just be myself, but like I'm expected, you know, it's yeah. like the only way that this podcast works is by being honest about myself and expressing myself and saying the hard things, mm-hmm. And also being, you know, carefree and, you know, fuck it, you know, and like I'm gay, you know, mm-hmm. like, and just being able to be myself and express all of that, this is a space for that, you know. And then I think anytime that I see you outside of the podcast, my close friendships, mm-hmm. you know, but I don't really feel like I've got a lot of other time, like work just takes up a lot of that space of my week. So mm-hmm. I don't know.
I was having a conversation. I don't even know what we were talking about. Probably something similar with Tamara a couple of weeks ago. But I asked, I was like, when we find ourselves in these situations where we have to assimilate to like fit in or assimilate to even have a seat at a table.
Yeah.
Do we work harder to assimilate and infiltrate, or do we take ourselves and our offerings and do we make our own? Mm-hmm. And she was like, we make our own.
Yeah.
And so I think I'm just envisioning a future for you where it's similar to this, where it does not work if it's not a full and honest expression of you.
Yeah.
And I feel like that is in your future.
I hope so.
You know?
Yeah. I mean, that's the future we're trying to create here, right?
Yeah. But, I mean, in an employment sense.
Right. The thing is, like, I feel like I work for really good people. Like, I think...
Well, it has nothing to do with... I mean, this problem that I'm hearing has nothing to do with...
My employers.
Correct.
Sure.
It's the patrons.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's kind of the struggle, is when you're in a space and someone else enters it and you have to anticipate the way they may or may not feel.
Yeah.
Everyone's so different.
Yeah, but I feel like it's so hard. Like, unless I was working at like a gay bar, you know, that like people coming in wouldn't necessarily already assume that like they're going to come into contact with a flaming homosexual.
Or unless people just weren't fucking homophobes.
Right. So, right. So it's like a whole social issue, right? As opposed to just like, you know, a place of employment, you know?
Well, but also, so I'm thinking to your future, not a near future, but at some point you will have completed your master's.
Yeah.
And be a therapist. Mm-hmm. And people will seek you out based on who you are.
Right.
And it won't have anything to do with, you know, like it. An industry. It will
trying to be,
a
certain kind of person for the masses.
Correct.
Yeah. Right, right, right.
It will be very Caleb specific. Mm. And I think that's something I have really loved about being self-employed is that I used to think maybe it was industry specific to the way I had to act and be, but I'm like, no, this is a lot less about a specific industry than it is the people. So how can I do something where I'm the one who's sought after and it's, you know, it's not dependent upon.
And you get to kind of choose who comes into your space, like who you take on as a client.
Yes.
Right.
There's not just random people asking me for things that I have to serve.
Right.
People would only seek me out if they knew who I was and knew what specific offerings I brought to the table. Mm. So inherently then they would accept me because they would know.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of what I'm envisioning for your future. And I'm hopeful for you.
I think it might also be important to recognize and acknowledge the fact that like I actually have a lot of people who come and see me specifically because of, you know, because of me, not because I'm gay, but because I am. Because
of who you are.
Yeah, because of who I am and what it is that I do and how good I am at my job, you know. And I do, you know, make decent money, you know, and that's because of who I am. But it is those small things, those small outlier experiences that really, like, cut me.
Yeah.
You know, it's like I'm vulnerable to those experiences, you know. And as many good experiences I have, those few shitty ones really hurt. So it is, I don't know, it is interesting to just like take that, hold that for what it is, you know, and to, I guess, reject the shame that comes with it, you know, the homophobia that I feel against myself, you know, when those things happen. So I don't know. Thank you for holding space for that.
Of course. How do you feel like you do reject that inner homophobia that you feel when these things arise?
You know, I think it's being aware of that, like internalized homophobia and realizing when it happens and knowing that it's a defense mechanism to take that on, to say, no, go back in the closet, Caleb, don't rock the boat. Don't be seen as, you know, effeminate or as flamboyant, like, you know, tone it down. And I feel like that it harkens back to like my childhood, you know, and the way that I existed at school at Moody. And recognizing that I don't have to be that way, you know, that like those feelings, you know, as valid as they are, shouldn't dictate the way that I act, right? And the way that I hold and carry myself, and that I can have a lot of love for, you know, that small little gay boy, you know, who grew up trying to hide, and that it's okay to be and express my personality as much and as fully as I want to, you know, and to say like, I love you. And like, we forgive those people for being, you know, homophobic and, you know, ignorant, but you don't have to let that control your life.
And that really has nothing to do with you.
Right.
It's their own shit.
Totally.
But it doesn't feel like that in the moment when you're experiencing it.
Yeah.
It's interesting, Caleb.
What's that thought?
I just feel like so much of I don't know, the shame spiral has to do with different versions of ourselves. And so I like what you said about inviting young Caleb to have a chance to heal in the present moment with Caleb, who you are now.
Yeah. I think it's like a, like an intentional invitation, right, to the part of myself that has been hurt and the part that has been, you know, shamed and told that he's not welcome and told him that he's too much or told him that he's too broken, you know, and to invite him in and be like, you're not broken and you are loved, you know, and you've proven that, you know. And I think this, like a lot of different parts of me, you know, that need that kind of love. And I think I'm, you know, in this space, like really grateful that I have people like you in my life who remind me to invite those parts of myself, those versions of me in, and to say, we love you here. So thank you.
Of course.
You're really special to me, you know?
Oh, well, you're really special to me, too. I really love you and admire you, and I like you.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
And, like, I know that you love me, but hearing that somebody likes you is also a really healing thing that, like, you know, somebody could enjoy me, you know?
I'm rolling my eyes because Caleb is like everyone's favorite person on the planet. And so I'm always so surprised when you act surprised that people like you. Because that's all I see and hear from other people is how much they like you.
It is funny and weird how insecurity crops up too, right?
Yeah.
That, yeah, I don't know. It's like I distrust people's, you know, like of me because I do feel like sometimes I'm such a people pleaser and I'm such a active extrovert, you know, even though I don't necessarily think that I'm actually an extrovert. I think I'm like a an introvert with extroverted tendencies because I need validation, you know, and I think that I figured out a way to get validation in life, and I've just constantly been trying to like consume that validation in order to internalize it myself. But there's that aspect of like when I get it, I reject it. And it's like, oh, it's not real because I've been performing for it, you know? So it's really hard to let it sink in.
Yeah. I can see that.
Yeah. Ew.
Well, you're worthy.
Thank you.
I know, but it's true.
It feels so gross.
I know. My friend, Tamara actually told me the other day, she was like, I love how you embrace like the things about yourself that aren't great. And I was like, okay.
Yeah, tell me about that.
For example, I was telling her that one of our now mutual friends was saying that they want to get to know Tamara. And I was just on a platonic level.
Yeah.
And you know how I feel about my friends being friends. I don't fuck with that. I wish you guys would all just be friends with me without being friends with each other, essentially.
You want to be the center I do. Of I'm everybody the nucleus. Else's orbiting.
Yes. Yeah. And you guys are all revolving around me. Right. I dictate what happens. I'm just the alpha and omega.
Yeah.
And so I said something to Tamara about how I was going to tell this friend, like, let's not worry about Tamara. Let's focus on me and you.
Right.
And she said, I love how you embrace these things about yourself that some people might not think are great, or that things about ourselves that we don't even necessarily like. And I was like, well, I appreciate that. Thank you.
Yeah.
But then I also had another person tell me, someone had complimented me on my parenting, and I must have said, I'm not that great of a mom. And they then said, even though you're self-deprecating, you are a good mom. And I was like, Whoa.
Yeah.
Self-deprecating. I've not heard that used to describe me before. But then as I've been sitting with it and then hearing Tamara say, I love that you embrace these things that suck about you, essentially. I'm like, what? There's a disconnect. But yeah. I feel like these are two very similar experiences that people have interpreted extremely different about sure. me. But also, like, why aren't I able to take a compliment? And why do I deflect
right.
When someone tells me they like me or I've done a good job or mm-hmm. I've shown up in a way that's positive? I very quickly turn it back
yeah.
or make it seem like it was a fluke and not like my essence.
Right. I don't know if it's just because I've read so much self-help or like dived, you know, so deep into psychology Twitter and psychology TikTok. Is that there's this idea of like our narrative, right, that we tell about ourselves and like the kind of person that we are, mm-hmm. right? And we hold this really as like an absolute truth in some way and not really, I mean, we can also think of ourselves as like ever growing and whatever, but like the things about ourselves that we hold to be absolute truths like are almost impenetrable to like compliments or mm-hmm. to critique. On the other hand, right? And I think it's really important to hear the way that we're perceived by others, mm-hmm. right? Because it does inform us of our own story, you know, that we're mm-hmm. telling ourselves. But there's that ego that, you know, becomes impenetrable sometimes. And yeah. I think it's important to, like, hold ourselves in our life and our, you know, our expression of our life with kind of an open hand, you mm-hmm. know, let down the barriers a little bit.
Yeah.
But that is really fascinating mm-hmm. that you deflect in that way, especially about those very specific things.
Yeah.
Like being a parent is like a very big deal to you.
It is, because it's yeah. my main role. I'm raising children, people who I love very much.
And of course you'd want to hear a compliment about how you're parenting.
Mm-hmm. But in my mind, I'm always like, well, I could be doing more, or oh, here sure. are the things I did poorly, or, and I think that, I mean, I feel like I experience life differently than both of these people who commented on, you know, the way they perceive me, but I'm also like, maybe I need to do a better job at celebrating myself. And it kind of, you know, I don't know. It made me think that maybe I'm not, maybe the person I'm showing up as right now could do more to like be present with me in this moment and not have to consider all of the extra shit.
Yeah.
And so I just wonder what that would look like too for you in some settings where you're feeling less comfortable about being your true authentic self. What would it look like for present you to really be present with you in that moment and embody that full authentic expression instead of worrying so much about shit that doesn't matter?
Right. I don't know. I think that there's like an invulnerability, right? Mm-hmm. Like a desire to not have any weaknesses, mm-hmm. right? And I don't want other people to see me as being weak or as being, you know, too heavily affected by something that somebody else said to me, mm-hmm. you know, even if it did, you know. And I think in the same way for you, but like in another way, right? That like somebody said something to you and you don't want to take that in mm-hmm. so much, right? Because then that would make you, I don't know, affected by yeah. somebody else's perspective of you, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I don't know. I think there's this desire in my life, right? And we did this test with Kat about our values, mm-hmm. right? There. Like one of my values is growth and wisdom, right? And I think that being a better person, continuing to and striving to be a better person is a big part of my life and occupies a lot of my brain space. But I don't think you can grow as much as a person unless you're willing to be a little vulnerable to say, I want to let go of, you know, some of these quote unquote absolute truths about my identity.
Mm-hmm. And maybe also realizing that you're enough in this moment without having to do anything else.
Well, yeah, I think part of growth is you have to accept where you are in the moment in order to get to, you know, point B. You can't just start at point B. You got to start at A, mm-hmm. you know. Full acceptance is a really beautiful thing. And it reminds me of Radical Acceptance by Tara Brach, which is a book that I listened to on Spotify recently. And it was really beautiful. Because it was like, you got to be where you're at right now. You got to be accepting of the things that you don't really want to look at mm-hmm. in your life. And mm-hmm. that was really radical for me to hear. So, yeah, that's a good reminder.
I feel like I have been made to almost have to accept my weaknesses before someone weaponized them against me.
Yeah.
And so I think that's part of why I'm so comfortable recognizing ways that I fall short of my own expectations of myself or someone else's because they were constantly pointed out. So I think for me and maybe for you, like, well, I guess I can't speak for you, but I need to do a better job of like celebrating myself. And I think it's, I always just am fascinated by you because I feel like everyone else celebrates you so much except for you. And it's like, it's almost like you could be at a party for you with like pictures of you hanging everywhere and like songs about Caleb. And you would be like, no one likes me. I'm being ignored. And I'm like, what the fuck? Like, this is all about you. How don't you see that? It's just really interesting.
Yeah.
Because I see that. I see like the way people look at you and talk to you and how you affect them. So I'm just so interested that you don't notice that sometimes or that you focus on. And I'm not saying you're like misplacing this experience that you had and the emotions that come with it.
Sure.
But I feel like so many people love you and celebrate you that, like sometimes just this, the 1 out of 10 experiences that are negative is what like sticks in your head. Cause I feel like, you know, we were just at, we happened to be at the same coffee shop, just today. And I saw you, I said, hi. And then we saw other people and they said, hi, but no one is ever that excited to see me. And I notice, like, I look at the difference and I'm like, oh, my God, he's like so celebrated. Like, I just would think that I feel like if it were me and people reacted to me like that, I would have such an inflated sense of self that I just would not even notice. Like,
well, maybe that's what it is. Maybe that's what my problem is that I have such an inflated sense of self, you know? And I think as an alcoholic, I already know that my ego is so big, right? That like, that's part of my problem is that I'm such an egomaniac that like any threat to my ego is like the biggest blow, right? That it becomes like this big dramatic, like, oh no, I'm in danger, you know, or I'm threatened. But it's not me, it's my ego. You know, it's my sense of self. And so, you know, any of the readings that I've done about, you know, Buddhism, you know, and or recovery, you know, and sobriety is all about ego deflation. And I think it's really important, you know, to start to let go, you know, of the inflated sense of self. And that can show up as a, you know, inferiority complex or as a superiority complex, you know. And I think, you know, as a person, I can recognize the way that those things have definitely showed up in my life. Both, you know. But it's, yeah, I have to like sit with that a little bit more, I think. Continuing to let that shit go.
Well, and I think also the more you're willing to be seen and the more you're willing to be authentic and put your true self forward, the more people that will be bothered.
Sure.
Because for reasons that have nothing to do with you at all.
Right.
But again, the right people will celebrate you and find you.
Sure.
It again is just unfortunate when that's tied to your income.
Oh, right, right, right. Exactly.
So bringing it back to that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just something I don't have to experience in that way anymore.
Yeah. I think it is really cool, the journey that you've taken, the way that you've, you know, stopped working for the man, as it were, and created your own path. And I'm really inspired by that, I think.
Hmm. Well, thank you.
No, thank you for showing me the way.
I'm showing you a way. I don't know if it's the way.
You're illuminating the path forward.
Logan was making me nervous.
Oh, Logan always makes me nervous. Oh, hi, buddy. Well, I think that's all I got.
Okay.
That felt like a therapy session, to be honest.
I feel like I've been in therapy for the past like 5 hours.
Yeah.
So I need a break.
Yeah.
But I do love talking to you so much.
I love talking to you so much.
Mm.
Thank you for helping me through all of that.
Well, thanks for being my friend. Thanks for being you. Thanks for being my token gay friend. Oh! My life would be so less diverse without you.
Do you know, it is my honor to be your token gay friend.
I actually have another gay friend now, Brody. But he's not the same. And
Logan, I need you to insert cricket noises at that moment. Yeah, that was rough.
I love using and abusing you.
Thank you.
Just kidding.
Whatever.
But I do love
Brody
you.
Better watch his back.
Yeah, watch out, Brody. I love you, and I love how you show up in the world. And you make people's lives better. You make it easier to be oneself just by you being you and being present. So fuck those little shitty tippers.
Fuck the haters.
Fuck them.
Right. Yeah.
And if you ever think about leaving Caleb a bad tip again, suck a fucking cock and choke on it, bitch. And that's how I feel.
So make sure that door is closed.
All right. God bless.
Don't want the lawyers down the hall hearing that.
Oop.
But you deserve better than that.
Thank you.
And fuck them.
Right. Yeah.
The fact that people notice that you're being authentic and being who you are... Mm. I mean, that's when you know you're on the right path. And if it pisses people off, I think that's when you know you're doing something right.
Mm-hmm.
Because if no one ever noticed who you were, no one would get mad, but then you wouldn't be you.
Right.
So don't preserve their comfort and safety.
Yeah.
The money will come.
Right.
It just might not be there.
Right.
The goodness will come.
Yes.
All of the things you're manifesting.
Build it. Yes. They will come.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, cool. Thank you.
You're welcome.
God bless you.
No, God bless you.
Okay, well, that's enough for me today. I'm tired.
Okay, well, please, like we said, like and share and review this podcast. Share it with everybody you know.
Yeah.
And then please vote for us. I don't know how voting works. Never mind. But you should come to the Iowa Podcast Awards because we'll be there.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there will be a public voting portion.
Oh, good.
This fall.
Like an American Idol type situation where like you call a certain number.
Text in.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
Text in your, yes. your order. It's like DoorDash.
Yes.
So vote for us.
Yeah, I am. I'm during this recording session. I was editing last week's episode because I have to redo the whole thing. I guess and fix it. It's fine. It'll be done soon. But I noticed that Sarah also started that episode by saying all of your holes. So because now it's a thing.
It's right. When Caleb says ear holes. It's the holes for
it's
me.
The holes.
I just think of all the other.
I'm just a hole, sir.
Holes.
So now I'm like, what are? How often do you talk about
I don't. I never do except for in this room.
See, this is the room. The room makes me horny.
Yeah, it just brings out
me so horny.
What if we went to a different room?
I don't know. I
we
might
were
be
still
more...
pretty horny downstairs.
Yeah. I might be more respectable. Who
it's
knows?
The energy. I won't. Yeah. Never.
Well, good.
Fuck that.
Exactly.
Yeah. All right. We love you.
Love you. Bye.
Peace.